Nothing in the world ever changes that. That we stand on. That is the gospel truth, that God is always good. There's always something that we could look at and say, well, that's a mess. Well, maybe. But we could also look at it and still say, hey, God is as good as he's ever been. And I will stand as faithful as I've ever been, because I know that God has loved me as much as he's always loved me. And this, too, I can take to the bank. Pray with me, would you? God, we thank you that you are so good to us. Your love is so rich and wonderful. You bless us so much more than we deserve. You are so patient with us. Your favor is absolutely wonderful. And today we stand with the sun shining and we know a little bit milder temperature, and it feels that we are right in the midst of spring, and the winter cold, dreary times are seem to be at the on the back end, and we look forward not just to warmer days, but to the brightness of the light of truth being proclaimed at Easter coming up, that Jesus is alive, and we have hope because of the resurrection. Lord, would you speak to us today in the midst of our heartaches and our sorrows, wherever we're at, whatever we're enduring or going through, remind us that you love us, because we know you do. Sometimes we just need to hear that in a special way, and you know that. So would you please continue to whisper into our souls how deeply you love us and that you are faithful and will always be there for us. For this, we cannot thank you enough, but we do give you praise and thanks and glory and honor. Amen. Amen. Hey, would be seated, church, this morning. Hey, if you're at home, you're probably not standing, but if you are, then you're welcome to have a seat as well today. Hey, as we get started, I want to take you back to when I was 16 years old. I would say it wasn't that long ago, but it's longer than, I'll just be truthful. I remember I was here in Evansville when I was 16, and many of you, if you're from the Evansville Tri-State area, you probably know that bridge that's on the screen. That is the bridge over the Ohio that goes to Henderson. And I remember the first time that I drove across that bridge when I was 16 years old, and I drove it. Scared to death? Yeah. Did you ever drive across that bridge or a bridge like that high up and those butterflies kind of get you and you can see through the edge? You know that's a long way down. And you're going, please don't let anybody hit me. I don't want to get blown off course here. And it's like, ah! And you know what? The fact that I'm here with you today says I made it. Whew! And as soon as I got on land again, right, driving, I just felt my heart rate go down. Just that kind of experience. There are bridges that we cross in life that sometimes, man, they're scary. Just be honest about it, right? They're scary. And today I want to talk about one of those bridges in our lives that is often scary. But it is a bridge worth crossing. But it probably is one of the hardest bridges that we cross in our lives. To do that, I want to go to the scriptures, and I want to start with Matthew 18. I'm going to use three different sections out of Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to grab my notes here real quick as we jump in here. And in Matthew 18, if you have a Bible open, you want to look at that, or maybe if at home you got one there with you, you want to take a look at, feel free to do that. I want to pick three stories that go right bam, bam, bam with each other in chapter 18, and then we're going to launch from there into the topic we just love to talk about here, which is who? It's Jesus. And so to get to him, let's start, though, with Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is here, and he's got people around him, and he's talking to them, and he decides he wants to tell a parable. And the parable that he starts to tell is the parable of the lost sheep. If you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard this parable. In the parable of the lost sheep, he starts to tell of a shepherd who had a sheep who wandered off kind of astray. The sheep had been in the community of the other sheep, had been sort of just doing life, right? They're kind of hanging out, looking out after one another, running into each other when they're trying to eat, you know, because they got their head down in the ground, just, you know, eating grass. You know, they're just doing life. And then one decides he just wants to wander off. Huh, okay. And you know, that shepherd says, I'm going to go after that one sheep. And he goes after the one sheep. Instead of allowing the one sheep to just go off and do its thing, for whatever reason it wanted to go do that, he decides, I'm going to go after the one sheep. He goes towards the sheep. Well, to the people that Jesus is talking to, they get the importance of this story. Because you see, a sheep was worth what? Sheep was worth money. So that meant the sheep was valuable. The sheep mattered. And so it was worth going after. It actually would be sort of insulting if you didn't go after the sheep that was worth money, because that sheep belonged to somebody else. You're just sort of managing that sheep, if you will, on their behalf. And Jesus was really just trying to stretch his audience to shake their thinking about how they should love God and how they should love each other. And then he breaks into a scenario, right? We'll go to the second one. He breaks into a scenario of a guy who had another guy sin against him. You ever had somebody offend you? If you've had somebody offend you in the last month or so, and if you're at home, you ought to do this too. Would you just kind of raise your hand? You can go like this, or you can go like that, or you can go, woo! Take your pick. Have you had somebody in the last month to 6 weeks maybe or so that's hurt you or offended you by something they said or something they did, something they didn't do, or maybe they didn't say, and it hurt you? Just a question, just raise your hand if that fits the bill for you, if anybody's kind of offended you. There's a few here. And what about you at home? Maybe you. Raise your hand. Uh-huh. Jesus is saying you got somebody that's offended you, sinned against you, they've hurt you, and you go to that person. And he says, hey, look, and if that person, if they listen to you, and they go, oh, yes, I've sinned against you. Hey, you can reconcile. Help the girls to want to gain that friendship, that relationship, right? Restore that thing. That's great. And if they don't, you know, get one or two other people to come with you, okay, and do the same thing. And if they don't, more to come, right? And in these three levels that what he's talking about here, it's the same pattern. I see one person going to another person. Go to that person. Not even knowing if the person is going to listen, hear, care, do anything about it. But Jesus is saying, that guy's going to the other guy. To emphasize, but Jesus emphasizing the importance of going towards the offender instead of going away from him or her. Well, then the amazing Peter, the Apostle Peter, decides that he wants to pipe up. And he says, Jesus, I got a question for you. I'm paraphrasing. He doesn't really say it that way. But he says, hey, if I got somebody that sins against me, how many times do I actually have to kind of go to them? Right? How many times do I actually forgive them? And Jesus says 70 times 7, which was his way of saying always. Always. And then Jesus breaks in and he tells another parable. I just love how he teaches in these stories. And he teaches a parable. We call it the parable of the unmerciful servant. And in this parable, there is a king who has a servant who owes him a ton of money. And the king recognizes this guy hasn't paid him back. So he goes to this servant, has him brought, right? He starts the process. He takes the initiative and he brings him to him and he says, hey, I'm going to hold you accountable to what is due. And then the guy says, oh, but I have a family and have all this, da 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 da. And the king decides that he would take mercy on the servant and he forgives the debt. It's an amazing, right? Amazing act of mercy by a person who doesn't, honestly, in the moment, doesn't have to do that. Because he, culturally speaking, he had every right to hold this servant to task, to judge this person for not having done what was expected that they would do. He could have had him punished for not doing the right thing. In fact, that's what he started with. And even though he knew he couldn't undo the offense, right? He's like, I can't make this moment where you didn't do what you were supposed to, like you didn't do it the right way. Like, I can't make that go away. I can't act like it never happened because my bank account says a different story. You owe me a ton of money, right? But even in light of that, I'm going to choose to forgive you and act compassionately instead of bringing down condemnation. He releases the servant from having to pay the debt that he owed him. That's the definition of forgiveness. And unfortunately, in the story, the servant doesn't learn from his experience because he thinks he's still going to have to pay the king back, and he goes to another guy that owes him a bunch of money, and in case the king wants to come and demand all his money back, he's like, I need to start getting on the ball here so I can get some of his other money, people's money that owes me, right, so I can get that back. And he's just hateful and ugly to the one that owes him. And the king finds out about it, and he says, hey, let's get together. I want to ask you a question. How come you treated that person with condemnation when I treated you with compassion? You should have treated that person the same way that I treated you. You couldn't pay back what you owed me, and they weren't able to pay back what they owed you. You should have extended compassion instead of condemnation. And because of that, it's then that the king chooses to hold the man to task for what originally was his just payment. He's going to have to work off that debt and find a way to get it paid off. The shepherd goes to the sheep. The brother goes to the brother who's offended him. And the king goes to the servant who is messed up. Love goes towards the wayward offender. Isn't that the story of the Bible? If you know the story of the Bible, that really is the story. Because when you think about the whole Bible, the story that is the Scriptures, I mean, it's really a story of God continuously going towards people who have sinned against him, who have offended him, right? Who are not living a life that he's really invited and called them and entered into a covenant with them to live. But yet he just keeps coming to them with and calling them to repent, to come back, to be faithful, to be compassionate with one another. And that's absolutely the Jesus story, isn't it? In the Jesus story, the Jesus story. What is that? Is it like a different book in the Bible? No, the story of Jesus' life in the Gospels. I mean, but think about it, because that's really that same story, because Jesus comes from heaven to earth. Why would he come to earth? Who's on earth? We are. For God so loved the world, right? It came. The incarnation. God in the flesh. He comes to the people. And he grows. And as a young man, he's going out and he's preaching. Do you remember what he was preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's going not away from the people that have sinned against God, but he's going to the people. Even the people that are broken, the people that are outcasts, the people that are just being ugly and hateful to other people and all the religious elite that are acting just bad. And he's going towards them. Palm Sunday. We can say that again, right? Jesus goes towards the people. He comes to Jerusalem. But think of the Passion. Passion is the time of when Jesus suffered going all the way up to the cross. So that week before Easter, we call Holy Week, we celebrate the Passion of Jesus Christ. And in the Passion of Jesus Christ, he goes through the suffering. He goes through the agony. He goes through the emotional pain, all of the hurt. And he goes to the cross, this wonderful cross that we have in here. And he goes to the cross because he knows something. Now watch this. Jesus knows that the solution to reconciliation is not to go away from the problem. It's not to ignore the offense. It's not to pretend that it never happened and that it's not a big deal and it doesn't exist and just kind of do. No. Jesus says the way to reconciliation and to restore what is broken is to go towards the pain instead of away from it. So Jesus goes towards the cross to pay for the sins of humanity. Because love goes towards the offender. It doesn't go away from. Hope for reconciliation is not pretending that an offense never happened. And it's not ignoring it. And it's not turning a blind eye. It's not acting like it never happened. It's not foregoing accountability and justice. I mean, God does not ignore those. He honors them. But the way in which he honors them is through a way of compassion. Forgiveness is it's a pretty hard bridge to cross, you know? It's a hard bridge. So, you know, the old saying says, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you cross a bridge that you're afraid of crossing? Because you look down and you go, that's a long fall if I fall. That could hurt. That could really be disastrous. I don't know if I want to take that risk or that chance. How do you cross that bridge? Knowing that what's on the other side potentially could be better than where you're at today. You take one step at a time. You take one step going towards that wayward person because they have value. You say, well, I don't really value them right now. And that's okay. It's okay that you don't feel like you value someone. Own how you feel. But your feelings are not always the truth. And the truth is that though we may not feel like we value someone who's hurt us, they have value because they are made in the image of God. And Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for them, just like he died for us. That tells us that every person has value regardless of the color of their skin or their ethnicity or their background or their sexual orientation. Every person has value. Thus, every person is worth going towards. Even though you cannot control how it will turn out. Jesus went towards the wayward on the cross, knowing that some still would never choose to believe. But he went anyways. You take one step going towards. And then you got to take a second step. Trying to talk to the person who has offended you. Right? Just as the guy went to the guy that had offended him, sinned against him. And when you go to someone who has offended you, hurt you, two things are happening. One, you're showing that you value the person, but you're not ignoring the problem. You're not ignoring the offense. So the very fact that you're going, you have a purpose and a reason for going. You're not ignoring the problem. But the very fact that you're standing or trying to stand in the presence of the other person says that you value the person and you're holding hope for reconciliation and restoration. And your heart has got to be in it. You take a second step, right? You're going towards the person, acknowledging your hurt, embracing hope for reconciliation and restoration. You got to take a third step. You probably saw this coming. Three stories, three steps, right? So you got to take a third step. Trying to choose compassion over condemnation. You know, it's been my experience that it seems easier to choose condemnation over compassion. Because it seems to be how we're wired is that we want to step back from, right? Like that reflex, you know, it's like, boom, I want to separate, I want to distance from that. And that's kind of a natural sort of way in which we all kind of, I say all, but most people that I've ever talked to and I've watched, that tends to be a reaction, a reflex. And so what then I've experienced, because I know I've done it and I've had it done to me, and you've probably experienced the same thing, is when we turn, because we try to separate, we also close ourselves off emotionally. Then separate physically from somebody. We don't talk. We don't engage. We just sort of bypass and go around. And what happens is we're thinking that the easiest path is really just to not face it or have to deal with it. No, God said actually the path to try to have hope to get beyond it is to actually go towards it. Whether it ever gets solved or not, it's not the point. It's taking a step with hope. You may feel like you want to hold it over their head. I've been there more times than I can count. And you may feel like you want to withdraw emotionally, spiritually, physically. Which I've done that more times than I can count. And it never really seems to turn out well in my experiences when I've chosen that. And there's a reason, I think, for that. You see, when you and I, in the midst of somebody who has offended us, when we shut them off, in essence, we turn from them instead of going towards them, even if we're in their presence, or I may say even not, but when we behave that way, we're actually condemning the person, even though we're not even saying a word, because your actions and your attitudes, your demeanor, the disconnect gives the impression that you don't value them. You see, right? Because when you shut something off that had been open, it says, I'm done. I don't value that anymore. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. I'm glad, and this is for me, and I'm seriously, for me, all right? I'm speaking from my own person. I never preach opinion, but I'm going to do it in this case. For me, I'm glad that of all the times that I've messed up and I have offended people, and I still don't do it right, even when I get offended, right, and what I should do, I'm so glad when I think that I know that in my sin and in my poor choices at times I offend God. And that even though that's the case, that the grace and the mercy of God is still rich to cover over that. And that that cross, the message of that cross and the message of an empty tomb says that God is not holding that against me because of my faith in Jesus. That it's not keeping me separated from God. But that reminder of being that invitation to say, look, God has more for you than this. God has more for you than this. And oftentimes, God's more comes with discomfort and crossing bridges that we just don't really want to cross. But it's the right bridge to cross. We feel like we don't want to go there. But yet something in us knows that it is the right way to go. It's just awfully hard. And it may take just a little bit of time to gather yourself. And that's okay. The point is that you go towards instead of away. It's important that our faith informs our feelings in the midst of offense. That we remember that we have the presence of God's love inside of us because the Holy Spirit is with us. And that means that we have the grace necessary to be compassionate, even though we may feel we want to offer condemnation in response. And it may not always work out like we want or hope that it will. It may not bring instant healing, may not fix it. Reconciliation may not always happen. But we can choose to take one step at a time and cross that scary bridge of forgiveness in the power of Christ. Going to them, communicating with them, and extending mercy as the Lord has extended mercy to us. And say, God, give me strength to do and to bear up under this difficult task, which I do not feel able to do. But I see that you have done and keep doing for me in Jesus Christ. And every time I see that cross, help me to remember that you did not come to the world but to condemn the world, but to save the world. Help me to hold that fresh in my mind and fresh in my heart and shape my response. If we get to the other side, we're going to have to cross the bridge to get there. You never get across the bridge if you stand there looking at the other side and don't move. You'll fail by fear, but you can flourish with faith. Seems fitting today. It's a very heavy sermon today, I know. So it's fitting that in the heaviness of this, that we would find strength together in communion. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and so it's a time for us to share in Holy Communion together as the body of Christ. And so I ask you, if you would, to take the communion, you gotta be able to say it right, don't I? Elements that are in your chair today, and if you have some at home, now would be the time to take those. Father, as we prepare to share these elements together, that I ask your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts. Help us to examine ourselves, that we would come to the table by faith, and we would come to the table with humility and find strength through your grace today. On the night Jesus was with his disciples at the Passover, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given up for you." When supper was ended, he took the cup and he gave thanks and praise and he blessed it. And he said, "Take and drink, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the sins of all. Drink from this cup in remembrance of me. For when you eat this bread and you drink this cup, You proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Today, let us give praise and thanks to God for the forgiveness that he has given us through his very life. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your love for us and the forgiveness that you've given to us. You've chosen to come towards us, to mercifully offer us forgiveness in a relationship with you. You've said that we are to love the world as you've loved us. We can't do that on our own, and you know it. So thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Continue to strengthen us, give us wisdom, boldness, courage. By your grace, to do the work of love as the people of God, that the world will know that we are disciples. We are your disciples by the way that we love other people. Amen. Always, forever, and ever, his grace is enough to get us through and across the toughest bridges that we'll cross in life. And remember, it's all worth it, because in the end, we look forward to crossing that bridge into eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the angels and saints in heaven. It'll all be worth it. Let's just keep going, right? Well, as we are moving forward, I just want to let you know that and ask you to pray for our for wisdom. Our elders are meeting today after church, and we're working on how we peel back restrictions here. That'll be a safe, progressive way for our church and our ministries, working on, trying to work on a plan for, you know, live music. And we're just so excited. It just feels like, and maybe it's because of spring too, but it just feels like we're moving forward, and there's hope is just right there, and it's just, we're just chasing after it. And so just keep us in your prayers today as we meet. We appreciate that. Thank you. May the Lord bless you as you go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. You are his. He is your God. Praise him. Enjoy his presence. Live with his joy. Find strength in the hope that you have in Christ. And let him lead you one step at a time across the bridges that you cross. Amen. 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 Lord bless you. Thanks for being with us online today. Have a great day.